May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Guten Morgen. It is an honour to be here this morning, and I bring greetings from our diocese in London and St. Paul's Cathedral. London is both an ancient city, established by the Romans, thriving, modern, with a prominent place on the world stage. Like Berlin, it is world-facing. It is multicultural, multi-faith. It is both cosmopolitan and suburban, economically successful and confident. It is a city of energy and diversity. London is open to all. But it is also a city of inequality and deprivation. The capital is home to more multi-millionaires than any other city in the world. But it is also home to some of the most economically deprived citizens in the UK. And this year, we find ourselves in turbulent times. The ongoing discussions around Brexit means that many of us are living with a profound feeling of uncertainty. Deep divisions in our society have been exposed, and we now are faced with an ongoing political process that risks deepening them even further. There have been few times in my lifetime which have been more polarising or unsettling. But of course, division is not new. Historically, we have found ourselves to have had unbearable, seemingly irreconcilable differences before, and no doubt we will again. These divisions, I believe, have their roots in questions of meaning, of belonging, and of identity. Our challenge is not to believe that we are all the same, because we are clearly not, but to recognize and hopefully to learn in some small way to overcome our intrinsic nature, which pushes others away and tries to carve out territory only for ourselves. We need to realize that we have more in common than divides us. Scripture tells us right from the beginning, when two brothers, Cain and Abel, come to blows, that we have been pushing away people who are closest to us. The story of Cain and Abel gives us no one else to blame. There is no peer pressure, no one else to impress, no money, no land to claim. Simply one person jealous of another. He thought he was being overlooked by God. What about me? Might have been his thought, and envy ate him up, and he killed his brother. Scripture tells us that from the very outset, this has been our struggle. But we as Christians are called to follow God's example. As dearly beloved children, we are called to walk in the way of love, just as Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, as a sacrifice to God. We Christians, along with others of faith and of goodwill, live in and serve the whole of our community, where there is no longer Jew or Gentile, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female, no longer British or German or European. All of us are one in Jesus Christ. We are here to serve our communities and to bless them, to carry hope and peace, and to demonstrate the love of God to everyone, servants and neighbours to those around us. When Jesus was asked that question of the path to eternal life, his exhortation was first to love God utterly and completely, and then to love your neighbour as ourselves. Today in London or here in Berlin, our neighbour could be anyone, and that may literally be the case. We cannot guarantee that the person living next door to us will have been born in the same country, speak the same language as us, or share the same faith. The mobility of the global population of both rich and poor is reshaping our countries and refiguring our neighbourhoods everywhere. Our neighbour can be anyone, and with the growth of technology means that our neighbours could be anywhere. There was a time when it was possible to live in a community where virtually everyone was based together, shared the same faith and values. Now we live with difference. I believe our difference can be our greatest strength. And with multicultural societies, we can be enriched, but it is challenging our shared values. The question, who is our neighbour, is not just about the action of our neighbour, but it is about our understanding of God, the identity of the neighbour. It is about who can be trusted, who can be befriended, and who do I need to love. It is so much easier to view ourselves as the good Samaritan, the one doing good, being moved with compassion. But Jesus was putting his audience and us in the role of the person in the ditch. To love our neighbour as ourself not only demands us to be compassionate, but it requires us to recognise the other, including our enemies, as bringers of compassion to us. In being compassionate, we need to see a mutuality so that both parties find a value. Both are equal in the sight of God. If we only see ourselves as the Good Samaritan, we in some sense see ourselves as part of an inclusive set of people doing good to others. But we need to understand our own vulnerability, and we need to receive compassion. And this opens us up to the possibility of relationships built on equality and a mutuality. Followers of Jesus believe that every human being is created in the image of God, and we are not made in isolation. My colleague in London, the Bishop of Kensington, Dr. Graham Tomlin, has recently said in responding to the tragedy of the fire of Grenfell Tower in London, "The Christian view of social relationships tells us that my neighbour is not so much a threat or a limitation, but a gift. If my own individuality is constituted by my relationships, not by my inner elusive personality or choices, then without my neighbour, I cannot become my full self. Without my neighbour, I cannot become my full self. We belong together in a creation which should be cherished and not simply consumed. And that is the starting point for the church, for the church's engagement with society, with the nation, and with the world. To build communities in our cities, across our cities and across the world does not just happen because we want it to. It takes a willingness on our part to embrace difference, to realise that we have as much to gain as to give. The man in our gospel reading this morning, coming to follow Jesus, was warned that there would be no prestige or perks waiting for him. Rather, he would have to give up his place of honour among the religious establishment. He had to expect to endure sacrifice and hardship. To follow Christ, to love our neighbour, even those who are different from us, we need to recognise that it will require effort and it will cost us. We live in uncertain times, and despite the apparently political difference, we have more in common than divides us. We must not put our hand to the plough and look back at what could have been, but we need to look forward to the kingdom of God, where all are one in Christ. Amen.